Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Tosh, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The two Monday night football games.
Too many.
Neither of them that good. Edition. The Evan Cohen scheduled to appear like every Tuesday. What does the quote-unquote star of Unsportsmanlike have for us today? Edition. And the you've heard Tausch talk about this. If you're going to bring a problem to him, have a solution. Have a point. Makes it so much more interesting for the listener. We're going to try and solve some problems today for your Green Bay Packers edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable.
Spotify?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Again, I know Pratik is trying to get this done for us. It seems, from what I can gather, that Spotify is the one that's not being super helpful. But I would just like an answer. What do we need to do? Do we need to play? Do I need to sing when we come back from commercials instead of using, you know, actual musicians? What do we need? Because we need to get back on there, and we apologize. And all of the rest of our shows are on there. That's the part that I'm really confused by.
Yeah, it's very.
We're just so incredibly popular that it's more problematic with us. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson working his way back from his mystery vacation to Orlando. So that leaves Hunter Vaughn as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better, in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his undisclosed location, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I am over my shookness. I'm going to enjoy this bye week that the G&G have. And I thought Sean Payton, after his big win last night against the Bengals, the Bengals stink. Like, the Bengals, it's done. It's over.
It's a wrap,
Zach
City.
Zach Taylor, going to be deuces. And Zach had he turned it around. He had a couple big playoff wins. Obviously got to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know what would be fun? You know what would be fun? If I'm Cincinnati and I'm Mike Brown, you know what I'm doing tomorrow?
You're cheapskating everyone.
Well, no, I think he's old now. He's got to be to the point where it's like, I got
I think it's
money,
his daughter.
Whatever.
His daughter's running things.
I think I call Nick Saban, and I say, Nick, You're an Ohio guy. Hold up Speaking a second. Old, don't get all poo-poo.
I'm poo-pooing.
I say, Nick, you did it all, baby. You couldn't win in the NFL. You never had your quarterback. You can come in. I'm going to give you complete control. You're going to have an offense. You're going to have your quarterback. You get to get this defense right. You can come in like Ron Wolf and look around and see what you like, what you don't like. And if you want to be the head of football ops, you want to coach it, you take this thing over. Come help us not waste Joe Burrow's prime. You got this thing. Who says no?
Nick Saban.
Why? He is bored with the media stuff. You already kind of heard it a little bit. His wife. Like, I think he wants to have the last hole in his resume. He doesn't need to do anything, just for the record. But you give him Joe Burrow. You give him Ja'Marr Chase. And then you let him go to work? If I'm Cincinnati, I'm not even blinking. If he says no, great. But I am back-channeling today, and I'm saying, man, we're going to trade Trey. We're going to do some things. We're going to get you some draft picks, get you young players. Would you be interested? And I would bet he's not going to say no right away. I would do it if I was them.
Can I point out that the Bengals started the season 2-0, and then Joe Burrow got hurt. So Zach Taylor doesn't have Joe Burrow. And if Nick Saban took over tomorrow, he wouldn't have Joe Burrow. They're bad without Joe Burrow. No one is denying that. Jake Browning, that was not great, Bob. But he's Joe Burrow. When he plays, they're good.
I know. Well, they're not that. I mean, their defense stunk. So maybe it won't make any sense. That wasn't even my main point. You kind of tangentized myself on why I'm not.
Tangentized myself. That's a new one. Put that on the, list.
I'm not as shook because I think there's times we look at this, and this is such a week-to-week league, and I've kind of gotten into the rhythm of this job of, you analyze what happened. You predict what's going to happen in the future. Sometimes there's red flags that come up that are very disturbing. And there are some red flags about this team.
Ooh.
Mainly, I hate to say this, the offensive line is the biggest red flag I have right now. And the fact that we're not creating turnovers. But I thought Sean Payton said something very interesting after they demolished Cincinnati last night. Ooh. Every team in this league is still trying to figure out who they are, including us. And I think we get caught up because it's a month. It's been a pretty good sample size already. And even though you think you know something, you don't really know a ton about these teams, including the G&G, until you get more of a sample size. So while I'm still incredibly shocked about what we saw Sunday night defensively, there is still a lot of season left, and I believe this defense is still really good. It just had some major flaws Sunday. I'm not going to overreact to the point I'm going to do this all bye week, while I'm still going to point out the flaws that I see that I believe need to get improved upon for this team to chase down a championship. We always think that these teams that win world championships are, they got every box checked. And you know, when you really look at it, you probably need to be about 80% checked. And then you got to weather the 20% storm. If you can get an 80% box check and a 20% storm weathering, you can be a Super Bowl champion. And that's what I learned from my little day and a half deal. Yeah, let's go. What do you think?
To Sean Payton's point, after their 28-3 victory over the Cincinnati Bengals, the Bengals are 2-2. And the Broncos are 2-2.
So, Jason, agree, but let's be blunt about this.
Emily Blunt?
Not all two,
James Blunt?
Not all 2-2s are equal.
I understand.
Cincinnati,
I understand.
I'm going to tell you a little something about Cincinnati. It's over. It's over.
Yeah, they're without their quarterback for 3 months.
Yeah. That's part of the deal, old boy. Oh, boy. That's part of the deal.
Oh, bro. Yeah. We'll see if Bo Nix misses time. How brilliant. I'm sorry. I'm just not a Sean Payton guy. They're playing at home against a team without their quarterback. That defense is not great. 28-3, not a surprise. Also not surprising that the Miami Dolphins got on the board for the first time with a W, and the Jets, with their institutional ineptitude, are 0-4, and Aaron Glenn is having a closed-door meeting where he's screaming at his players and telling them how much they stink. So my greater issue, and we can get into this coming up, I don't need two Monday night games. One is good.
I'm with you.
I like the idea of having it the first Monday where you have two. But, again, these were like, hey, we need to find two games so we could put on the same Monday night. So we'll do these. Because there wasn't a lot of sex appeal, if you will.
See, I don't think that's fair. Because the NFL, unless they're this good at writing the script, they didn't know Joe Burrow was going to be hurt. And then you expect then the Broncos to keep doing what they did last year. So that was supposed to be a really good game, potential playoff matchup between
those
two.
What about the other one?
The other one, I don't know why the Jets are on national TV ever. The Dolphins, I don't think they were expected to be this bad. So that's where
they weren't
that
expected
one I
to
get.
Be good, though.
No, they're I think 500-ish territory.
Hunter, I said the Dolphins would stink. And they
okay,
but actually,
okay, great. But I think a lot of people
Dolphins
expect them to be 500.
The Dolphins' schedule gets very soft, but again, the same thing. The other teams look at the Dolphins being soft too. This league has its way of figuring out who are the 80-20s going to be and who are the 30-50s. And the Packers are going to be an 80-20. The Packers will be an 80-20.
And what is the 30-50?
They're just not going to 80. They're not going to quite make it. They'll be 30, 50, 10, 5, and 5, something like that.
Okay.
What?
I don't know. Did you want to explain that? Or
well,
you
know
just
what?
Want to move
I should have pounced when you misspoke yesterday. I should have pounced on you. I didn't.
No, I just don't.
And
I'm
regretting,
trying to understand.
I'm regretting
okay.
it. I did it. Now that you, did
you don't have to get upset,
no.
Tosh. No, you just started
it's
throwing numbers out there, and we didn't know what you're talking about.
It's all
Where's Riley
doing?
This morning? Sure. Is Riley around?
Okay.
Is Riley gone?
Did you get enough sleep last night? Are you cranky?
I'm not cranky. I'm getting crankier as we're sitting here, but no, I got plenty of sleep last night.
We'll have less sleep, we'll be grumpy.
As we're sitting
I am
here.
Getting crankier. The bottom line on this is, I think, obviously you lose your starting quarterback. We don't need two Monday night games every Monday night. And I know that's not going to be the case.
Correct.
If we're going to do this, let's keep cranking on that Sunday morning window, that European window. I like the European window.
Mm.
It's fun.
You are
that's
very
where
European.
We go. You yes. get a little bottle of Bordeaux outside the European window. You sit there on your little deck or your whatever they call it over there, casieta, and you just sit and enjoy a Vikings-Steelers and a Vikings. Put the Vikings over there for a month. Let them play the Sunday morning window game. That would be fun.
And you can sit on your Venetian porch and look out your Pella window at the vistas of Europe while you're watching the Minnesota Vikings, all because of Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Last day of the month. Last day of the month. And when a customer chooses Pella, I think September has only got 30, right? Or they got 30.
Correct.
Days.
No, 30 days.
Okay,
half
good.
September.
All right.
April,
when
June,
a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things to them is honoring that trust and commitment. A lot of customers, they might have apprehensions about inviting someone out to their home, but when you see the experience and professionalism, You can trust them with bringing your project to life. Their vision is to be the company that people want to do business with. Order up by the end of the month. You get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com today. And today is the end. Get it moving. Terms and conditions do apply.
We'll see if we can keep irritating Tausch.
Oh, I bet you will. You're on a really good start to the day.
I'm pretty sure I heard a "Where's Riley today?" at one point. So, Hunter, be careful. Tread carefully. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
To talk to Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. He'll come up at the bottom of the hour. So, Tausch, you were shook yesterday.
Yep, I was. Yep.
What has de-shookified you to the degree that, is it just time? Time heals all shookedness? What exactly has changed in the last 24 hours?
Sunlight. Went out and got great sunlight.
Golfing?
Got some perspective in the world, and then I think it's just time. Yeah, I think you watch this stuff, and especially for what we do, I mean, we put a lot of time in, we study this, we talk about it, we get opinions, and then we form our own, at least I form my own opinions, and you can be, you know, you can be wrong, and then you can be shellackingly wrong. And when you're shellackingly wrong, it will shake you. And then you look at it and you say, well, okay, what's the next step in this whole process? And the process is, it's a long season. And, you know, when Green Bay would lose 38-3 against the Saints to open the season, or, you know, get beat badly by Seattle, or those things happen. Road games are always tricky in the NFL. But when you get preconceived notions about teams, especially with the lack of preseason play and it still being the month of September, you have to check yourself. And that's kind of where I'm at with kind of the evaluation and what I'm seeing. It's not the world being, oh, the Packers defense stinks. Is it eye-opening and you start questioning more things? For me, absolutely. So I think when you combine the time and sunlight and beautiful weather and, you know, all of those things, that is what kind of unshookified me. And now it's, okay, we got 12 days, whatever it is, before the Cincinnati Bengals come in. And Cincinnati, and I think watching Cincinnati, it's early, but I would think should be a pretty good little recipe for the Jeff Hafley soup that he's going to concoct to be pretty doggone good in about 12 days. So all of those things kind of quantified to make me unshook, if that makes sense.
So I understand that this is not scientific by any means. It is not, I can't say that there's any accuracy to what I'm about to say.
Is
it possible they just, like Alexander, had the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, famous childhood book of mine, one of my favorites. Is it possible that their defense just had a bad day where they couldn't do anything right and they couldn't tackle and they didn't rally to the ball the way they have and they still can't get a turnover? 4 games, 2 interceptions, 0 fumbles forced. Rashawn Gary, who had done such a fantastic job of taking advantage of Micah Parsons' presence, gets donutted. LVN doesn't record a statistic.
Yeah, not great.
Other than snap counts. Is it possible that it just wasn't their day, and they're not nearly as bad as they appeared, but we have to at least pause and say, well, they're not as good as we were crowning them to be either. I'm trying to think of a time, and maybe you can think of a game where you guys on offense during your playing career just didn't have it. We just don't have it today, right? Like, I remember the opening of the Mike McCarthy era, you guys lost 26-0. But that wasn't we didn't have it that day.
That was we don't know what we're doing. That was
right.
That was bad.
So do you remember a game when things were going overall, and you just showed up and stunk?
Oh no. That's what's so jarring. Listen, man, there are times we got our breaks beat in. Obviously, that 4-12 season, we got our breaks beat in
frequently
from time to time, but throughout the course of it, I mean, yeah, the playoff game against the Rams, that was just one of those days where, you know, is anybody shocked that we threw six picks? No, I mean, that happens. With Brett, you knew that that was a possibility because as you start falling behind, you're going to press a little bit, and sometimes that stuff goes. So this is a very humbling game. The sport of NFL and college, you have, and this line is always great, those guys are on scholarship too, those guys get paid too. You never go into a game thinking that, but there are times that you just get got. And when you get got, it's what are you going to do about getting got? And typically the answer is you bow up and you come back, you got maybe a little more fire in your belly and you don't have a bunch of folks that are, you know, getting after you about that. And when that happens as pros, that's why guys are always looking for these slights. That's why this job, when we slight people, I actually think people should be saying thank you. Not the players, and I'm very cautious of that because, you know, I lived it. But guys take this stuff to heart because you're always needing to keep putting coal or wood or whatever burns your fire. You can't let the embers go out. And I think maybe there was a little ember going out down in Dallas. I think they thought that they could just smoke the barbecue with whatever. You need to keep putting the timber. You need to keep putting those out. You got to keep the embers hot. If you don't in the NFL, you end up with cold, stale, crappy barbecue, and you end up tying a team you should beat in a big way. And that's kind of, I think, what happened on Sunday.
Is that what happened when you were smoking that brisket and it ended up chewy? Did you not put in enough timbers?
No, what we did is we uncovered the brisket too quickly, and it got a little rubbery, and you can't go back. That was nothing to do with – I think we did smoke it. Yeah, we pulled it off the smoker too soon. So you combine those two things, you end up with a rubbery brisket. This is more I'm talking like a pork shoulder, which any idiot can go barbecue a pork shoulder. That's easy. You could do that. No offense. But you'd throw that, but you still have to keep the embers hot. And in a 17-game NFL season, it is very difficult to keep – like the first game, you had an inferno of embers. Second game, it was so quick, you maybe didn't have an inferno, but you had a strong base ember. And then Cleveland – you only had half an ember. The offensive ember stayed back. They went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And then I thought on Sunday, the embers just, they flickered. It was a flickering. You never got it to poof. And that's why you ended up where you did. My guess, by Sunday of next week, I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of heat coming out them embers. That's my guess.
Half the embers went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Well, do you think the offense and special team embers showed up?
I didn't know that
in
we
Cleveland?
Were. I didn't. Yeah, but like now I got these little pictures of like these little pieces of coal walking down the street, going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to see the displays. Hunter, do me a favor and save for our next promo of the show. Any idiot can smoke a pork shoulder.
Yep.
Even you, no offense, sounds like a perfect promo for Wilde and Tausch. That was a ride.
When's the last time you smoked some meat?
I've never smoked any meat. I don't have a smoker. I don't want to smoke meat. I don't have a bunch of meat.
Your family
eaters in
doesn't
my
eat
house.
A lot of meat. Yeah. Well, you could still you can smoke veggies.
Smoked meat is delicious. It's probably the best way to eat meat. I think you need to get on the smoking meat train, Jason.
Hey, Hunter's
no one else
back.
Is eating it.
Hey, you know what? I'm not even asking where Riley is anymore after Hunter just interjected. Hunter's right. Smoked meat's good meat.
We need to get ready for Evan Cohen. Before we do that, Tausch is great at smoking meat.
So
sometimes.
What is Paula? Does she like smoked cauliflower? Like, is she – because what's the normal meal right now if the kids don't have anything – and she's saying we're not going to go out to eat. What are y'all making when you have veggies? When it's such a veggie heavy family,
so
give
are
me a
you,
taste.
First of all, so you can put vegetables in a smoker.
You can smoke anything. You can smoke everything. Yeah.
I don't know if we're doing cauliflower. I'm already. Apparently, you go to a pellet grill and you can smoke your vegetables. I'm learning here. On the Google machine. I don't know. There very rarely do we have a night where the girls don't have something. That this is the life we've chosen to lead. The girls love it. We love it. But we tend to be eating on the run.
Well, you still have to eat. Do you not
eat? We do. And while some of the places that we go to have ice cream, I don't think any of them have
been traditional partners. Oh, so you eat out every night. You're eating out every night.
We tend to grab something after practice that they can eat in the car so they can get home and go to bed and get their requisite sleep. That's kind of our MO. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Just like your MO is to win.
Boy, that Ember, I ain't going to lie to you, that Ember died out quick. Trying to talk veggie smoking and that Ember.
Because a lot
was like
of
the,
people
that was
wanted
the offense
to talk.
A
lot of people wanted to talk
that was the offense
smoking.
In Cleveland. We had the Ember, the Cleveland offense Ember. On that conversation right there.
How did the embers burn on Prize Picks for you?
Oh, Ember. I told you yesterday, what a day. Great day on Prize Picks. Football season is here, and I've got to tell you, Prize Picks, they just make the games more fun to watch for me. And I bet for you, too. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made simple. More or less, I went more on Matthew Golden. And, boy, he made me sweat a little bit. Big play right out of the gates. Luckily, him and Wicks run the same route, which doesn't make a ton of sense to us. Goldie says, nah, I'm going to go grip, grab that. Gets 46-47 right out of the gates. Then they throw a 7-yard pass behind the line of scrimmage. He gets drilled, and he goes under the number 42. But luckily, the big fourth down, he gets back more. And old T cashed, a nice one. It's quick and easy. Set your lineup less than a minute. The option to stack single players across different stat lines. You can play it safe with flex play. You want the big payout? Go with the power play. Withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure with Apple Pay, Venmo, and more. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use that code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI for $50 in lineups after your first $5 play. Prize Picks, it is good to be right.
Evan Cohen scheduled to appear next. It's Will Tausch.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. What's it gonna be? Tonight the winds of change are blowing wild and free. If I don't get out of this town, I just might be the one who finally burns it down. I'm throwing caution. I'm throwing caution.
You know what that music means? From Unsportsmanlike. Time for Evan Cohen on Wilde and Tausch. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. How are we doing?
So from a national perspective, which you deliver for us every Tuesday at 9:30 Central Time, you have to obviously be knowledgeable, you and Smalls and Canty, about all the teams. Unlike us, we're focused on the Packers all the time, and then whatever. Well, we had embers that were going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame earlier. We'll have to explain that later. But you have to be on top of all these teams, right? You guys are talking about all the teams. How are you talking about the Packers now after 1 minute we're putting them in the tier on Unsportsmanlike of Super Bowl contender and top team in the NFC. Then they lose to the Browns. Now they tie the Cowboys. How do you... Tausch was riding the wave yesterday. He was down. He was shook. How do you present them to your audience when you're talking about them right now?
So it's much easier with them than it is other teams because it's a very simple question. The three of us, Michelle, Chris, and I, were in the building against the Commanders. And so I just have to simply ask the question of what happened? How did they go from that to this? Because these results don't make much sense facing the team that we saw against the Commanders. So it's more, for me, my questioning and curiosity of how do I walk out of that building that night thinking that team looks unstoppable to, wait, they lost to the Browns and then followed that up with a tie against the Cowboys? Like, that really happened? So it's more out of curiosity and intrigue than it is knowing everything that's going on. We talked about it where they overhyped, right? We discussed that on Wilde and Tausch. We also discussed how after that game against the Commanders, one of the coolest things was that Jordan Love could have a lot of improvements because he missed throws, and then he has the interception against the Browns. And the other thing is that Tausch got it through my head, and I think rightfully so at the time, of no big deal, loss against the Browns actually could help you. And then I know Tausch on Sunday during the post game said, no, now I have to be worried about this team. So you've kind of gone through the emotional roller coaster, but more out of curiosity as to what has gone wrong.
Yeah, I couldn't envision what we saw with an offense that didn't have their best wideout and two of their best linemen. I just never envisioned this defense, even though I think Dak is a really good quarterback, I never envisioned them looking so helpless to get a stop in the third and fourth quarter. I never thought that was going to happen. And it does make you think, how dominant is this defense and how good are they if that is allowed? And then you start thinking, and you guys played an interesting clip on your show this morning about Sean Payton saying every team at this point is still trying to figure out who they are. And even though we're a quarter of the season done and you're four games in and you have a good sample size, you think it doesn't – how many times do you recall any team that struggled in September, they can still get it right and get moving to win a championship, and that about – all of these teams have about 80% of the box checked, and there's going to be 20% – that isn't. The idea of super teams and teams that are just going to dominate and steamroll through people, it's just not as pertinent in today's NFL, and that's kind of where I've gotten to after the last day and a half.
Yeah, and a lot of times the teams that have stinky starts that still do well are the teams that already have the money in the bank. You know, Coach Belichick would always talk about the idea that the season doesn't really start until after Thanksgiving. And yep. Andy Reid has kind of said the same thing. Yeah, those two teams can say that because they have a million titles, right? A team that has never won it should not be thinking it, never won it with this group, excuse me, should not be thinking about that way. But let me ask you one other question, because this is something I think we're going to dive into a little bit tomorrow, but is it on the table, and I cannot believe I'm asking this question, is it on the table that the Packers missed the playoffs?
No.
Not on the table at all?
No. No.
Okay. Is it on the table that they're one and done in the playoffs?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you could put that on the table. You could put that with pretty much everybody.
Okay. So is it on the table that the Cowboys could actually win the trade this year?
Well, let me ask you this. If they don't win a championship with Micah Parsons, was that trade worth it?
Not just this year, like in the next 3-year window.
No,
you mean?
Yeah, you got a three. He signed a 4-year deal, right?
Yeah.
So you got 5 years. You really have 5 years with him. If you don't win a championship in those 5 years, I still think it's probably worth it because you took the swing, and as long as he stays healthy and is playing, I'm I'm going to still say yes, but I can understand why some would say no.
Right. So I think the answer is you still make the deal. Here's why I asked that. In essence, what's happening now is what should have happened at the time of the trade. None of us did it because at the time of the trade, we're all just saying, oh, my God, the Packers got Micah Parsons.
Yep.
And we looked at it only from the viewpoint of the Packers won the trade, they got him, Super Bowl or bust, et cetera, et cetera. Most of us did not take a step back and say, well, how can the Cowboys win this deal? How can the Packers win this deal? How can both win this deal? And I think now, because of the rocky last two games of the Packers, which I don't expect to last, but we're having the conversation we probably should have had then, which is maybe the Cowboys knew what they were doing to some extent. One of the weirdest parts about Micah Parsons as a player is he's always been great. His teams have always won, and yet they've never won enough. And you wonder if this, year lands with that same label as every other year in his career. Now, he had a great coach, in my opinion, and McCarthy. And I think he's got a great coach now. So you can't just blame coaching. And I'm not blaming Micah. It is interesting that he's like, for the most part, double-digit wins, playoffs, no big-picture team success to think of or to talk about. Just an interesting kind of career arc that you've had at this point for him.
Yeah, I never thought that the acquisition guaranteed them a title, and I know that's not what you're saying, but they did. I do feel like they needed to take a big swing.
Yep.
Given all the kind of, you know, Ed policy saying he wasn't going to extend them and he doesn't want lame ducks. Like, that was his not so subtle way of saying, hey, you know, make something happen here. And they did. And now we'll see. Ultimately, they'll be judged on that and how well Jordan Love plays. And if this grand experiment of being so young. Look, they have a bunch of young guys still, but they are way more experienced. But this is the third year in a row that they had the youngest roster in the NFL on opening day. They believe in the idea that you live through growing pains, and then in the second half of the season, some might say after Thanksgiving, you suddenly have a much better team because they've gone through that, and now they've come out on the other side. I don't know if that'll prove to be true, but that's what they think.
Jason, I've gotten the feeling, correct me if I'm wrong, I've gotten the feeling that either you don't love this team, you think they're overrated, they're too booty-based. I've gotten the feeling and talked to you every week that this team, for whatever reason, is not your favorite. Am I right about that?
Well, I think the issue is that I feel like we've been doing a lot of premature crowning, and then it's hard to walk that back when you have proclaimed, so like the Jordan Love piece. Like, Jordan Love was fantastic on Sunday night, with the exception of he and the rest of the offensive players and Matt LaFleur lollygagging in the final 30 seconds after Emmanuel Wilson is tackled in bounds. That was a critical error by everyone involved, including the quarterback. But beyond that, I mean, he knew he had a free play for 12 men on the field on the play that he threw the pick on. I thought he was great.
But, Jason, you know what? Why not fire that? You know that. Throw the ball down the field. Don't throw an 8-yard out.
Yeah, all I'm saying is that you can't
just whip it down. You know that. Whip it down the field.
But is there partially that worth you so from you?
No, I agree with Bill Belichick and Andy Reid, Sean Payton.
But then there is an I told you so, because I every week I come on here and I'm thrilled and fortunate to do it. And every other Packers fan, which you're not, and every other Packers media member, which you are, has very much not only glass half full, glass overflowing. And I feel like whether there's parts of the team or people or circumstances or hype, I've just never gotten the sense that this year's Packers team, maybe how they were built, maybe crowning Love in a way that, you know, Rodgers and Favre weren't crowned without doing this much. I just have never gotten the sense that you believe in it like everyone else does, and you may be right. So I ask you, mm-hmm. is there a little bit of an I told you so over the last 2 weeks?
No,
I don't think you love this team.
Yeah, it's not an I told you so. It's, in the words of the great American songwriter Taylor Swift, you need to calm down. You're being too loud. Like, there were proclamations at 2-0. And again, I go back to what Xavier McKinney told me last Thursday. We got guys walking around here thinking they won the Super Bowl because we're 2-0. That's not how this works. So, and I feel like fans were the same way. And look, even I got swept up in it a little bit. Like, we're making jokes about how, you know, when Jeff Hafley enters a store, he doesn't hold the door for the person behind him. We're trying to come up with all these reasons why he's a jerk. You don't want to hire him as your head coach. He should really have to be stuck here for another year. You know, and then they have the performance that they did against a CD Lamb-less and missing two starting offensive linemen Dallas team, right? So I am always, and you've heard me say this, I'm always putting my thumb on the scale. So if we're too high on one side, I'm pushing that down. Oh, they're 2-0, they're going to the Super Bowl. Homer proclaiming the division is over, etc. I'm going to push. Now, I'm looking at this going, look, they didn't suddenly overnight become a bad team. Like, they
you're
struggled
off. No, you're the ultimate hedger is what you are.
Because I'm not.
You're the hedge guy.
I don't see the future. And I think you have to live in the present with.
Is that confirmed? Can we have Hunter confirm that Jason doesn't see the future? I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. Jason, you're allowed to say I told you so. Just say it.
No, because they could Jason. Turn out to be as good as you walked out of Lambeau Field thinking they were.
Right.
Right? Like in 1996, which I know is, as Homer would call it now, Old Testament. But I remember that team losing back-to-back games and then for the first half of a game against the then St. Louis Rams, Michelle Smallman's team. She was just a little tyke back then. But they're struggling against a very bad Rams team. And then Doug Evans has an interception and it flips everything, and I don't think they lost again that year. But that was a great team that had 2.5 games of putrid performances. So maybe the Packers of 2025 are not that great, but really good, and they've had one really clunker of an offensive game against Cleveland and a meltdown in the last minute, and then they had a really good offensive game with a horrendous defensive and special teams performance again against Dallas, and now they're going to come out after their bye week, and they're going to rattle off 7 straight wins. I could see that happening.
Tausch, is Jason's evoking of the name Doug Evans, and I told you so?
It sort of is, yeah. I think it sort of is. Yeah, Jason, for whatever reason.
I think when you go Doug Evans, it's I told you so.
You bring up Doug, and you bring up that. And every team, and I guess my point on the 80-20 is, every team is going to have some flaws. There's just when you're spending the money you have and you have injuries, it's up to you and your coaches to figure out how do we, and that's what Belichick did so well, is he always played to his guys' strengths and tried to not allow them to play to their weaknesses, and he forced other teams to not play to their strengths. And that's the key, and that's why he, along with Tom Brady and other things, had so much success. But Jason, he jumped in with the Micah deal, and then I think as the season started and it looked as if, oh baby, he wanted to make sure to hedge in case this thing went this way, which it has, but for whatever reason, someone that takes more attaboys covertly, he doesn't want to take an attaboy now. And that doesn't make a ton of sense.
Matthew in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat says something that I think the three of us should discuss. Because I just heard Evan Cohen say that, you know, Micah Parsons had a great coach in Dallas in Mike McCarthy, and you think he's got a great coach in Matt LaFleur. Matthew in the YouTube comments, this team with Matt LaFleur will not win a championship. He's a terrible head coach a great offensive coordinator.
I don't actually think he was a great offensive coordinator. So I think he's a better head coach than he is offensive coordinator, actually.
And I'm just wondering, do we feel like this is something that is prevalent among Packers fans that are, because they were frustrated with him, no doubt about it, and the way they slow played the final minute, and Tausch, you made a great point about them being afraid that they were going to leave Brandon Aubrey enough time to kick a 70-yard game-winning field goal. Do we sense that this is how Packers fans, a portion of the fan base, is looking at him that way,
too? So, Jason, right now, Packer fans, because of how that game played, and you have a two-week window, Packer fans are really down on Matt LaFleur. They're down on his clock management. They're down on the fact that he's kept the special teams coach around that has not gotten the special teams any better, and that's where they're at. But the Matt LaFleur component to this, I think, is still – there's still a lot to be written about how he's going to handle this football team and if this offense can play like it did against a bad defense, by the way, not like they did against Cleveland.
Right.
I don't think any of us know. I know this. I feel a heck of a lot more confident that this defense is going to play more like it did the first 3 weeks than I feel like the offense is going to play like it did against Dallas.
Now, that's a good take.
So guys, let's work in extremes on something. I'm going to give you two options, and I want you guys to speak for Packers fans' feelings right now. So here are your two options. You could snap your fingers and change one of your coach, quarterback, or GM right now, or if you choose not to snap your fingers, you're locked into all three of them for the next 5 years. What path are you taking?
I'm not snapping my fingers.
You're saying, I'm good to go with these three next 5 years. I believe it can work out.
Yes, I do.
And you think
I think Jordan Love is a good quarterback. I still think he has to – there are just some things that he has to experience and grow. Yes, he's been in the league 6 years. He's started for two and some change now. The decision to throw that football on a Charlie checkdown with no timeouts can't happen. He has to learn from that, and he will. I think that's the next evolution of his game. I believe him and Matt LaFleur are going to be very successful on the offensive end of it, and I think the fact that he's got Jeff Hafley as his guy, and you know where I stand with Goody, so yeah, it's great. You can complain and say that there were mistakes made, and no doubt about it, but go ahead and look around, and I always am saying, if you think there's a problem, great. What is the solution? Who are you bringing in?
Right.
You getting Nick Saban?
I agree with you.
You going to pull Nick Saban? All right.
We need.
By the way, this,
you need to run that.
Quick
by
question
Evan.
For you. I said this. Jason didn't think this was a good idea. If I'm Mike Brown and whatever, I don't know his daughter's name that is running the team. If I'm the Bengals, I call Nick Saban today, and I say, Nick, I know you're having fun with McAfee and the boys on game day. I also heard rumors that in the beginning of this that you kind of got that itch to get back into coaching. You don't yet. Your NFL career was marred by a bad decision on getting the quarterback right. Hey, we got your quarterback. We got your wideouts. We need you to fix this defense in the O-line, which is your specialty. Come help us in Cincy. Get your last pelt on the wall and get us a championship. You'll have full authority to do what you want. Why would that not be a great idea?
It is a great idea. I would do that in 2 seconds if I'm Cincinnati.
What about if you're Nick?
That's it. I think it's got to be intriguing. Here's the thing. I don't know that the quarterback is as fail-proof as you're portraying, because you're portraying health. I don't know that we can do that with this quarterback at this point, unfortunately. I think conceptually, if you tell me he's 100% good to go, then yeah. Here's the only question I would have also if I'm Nick. Not only, I'd have many questions. So, what happens if Buffalo doesn't get to the AFC Championship game this year? because that's the job. Well, McDermott feels like the guy he worked for many years, and Andy Reid, one of these almost, very next day he should get hired, but maybe it's just not going to work out there. I think you would have people lining up for that job. I think you could make the argument that that would be the most coveted job in the NFL because of the fact you have a can't-miss quarterback and you're not following an icon. You know, like you could say, oh, the Chiefs job would be the job. Is it? Do you want to really follow Andy Reid there? Like, are you sure about that? Oh, the Rams job would be amazing. They love McVay, right? Like, I think that the Bills job, if that ever became available, is the one that Saban and Belichick should fight for that job. And Belichick's not going to get it at this point, but you get my point, right? Like, that's the one that I would always hold out hope for if I was a
Why
coach
do you say Belichick level. Won't get it? Is it because of his girlfriend?
Well, I shouldn't have said it that way. I would hire him in 2 seconds if I was Buffalo or Cincinnati and he wanted in, because I think the assumption that he wouldn't be good at the NFL is laughable, because he's never not been, put him with a quarterback and he's going to be great, right?
He doesn't have Tom Brady and been a good NFL coach. Those are just the facts.
Yeah, I think that's situational how you choose to portray that, but okay. Because I think he was pretty damn good the first year. I think he was good with the first year with Mac, and I think if Cam doesn't get COVID that first year, they're in the playoffs, and he made it to the playoffs with the Browns. But we can.
Well, ifs and buts are candy and nuts, am I right?
No. I think it's in general, yes, it's a good idea.
All right, so, Evco, before we let you go, where do you have Green Bay? I saw Canty's rankings. They're not in the top five. You still think this is a Super Bowl contender? You're not writing this group off. Where do you have Green Bay right now in the hierarchy in the NFC?
Yeah, it's weird. If you were to do, like, the college football-type rankings and go based on resume, they beat the Lions, but I put them behind the Lions, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's very odd. Like, I don't know how I don't get it. But Eagles are above them, Lions are above them, Rams are probably above them, and Bucks are probably above them, right? They're probably the fifth best team in the NFC right now. Am I wrong on that?
I'm not putting Tampa ahead of them. No way.
If you're ranking it based on how they're playing right now and the two performances they've put together, I think you do have to put Tampa ahead of them.
The Buccaneers were down 31-6
against the defending Super Bowl champs, not against a Dallas Cowboys team that was missing.
You understand Dallas? If CeeDee Lamb could catch the ball, Dallas beats Philly on opening night? Did we forget about that?
Yeah, no, we did not. We talked about that yesterday.
Okay, well, let's not forget about that.
And if they had an edge rusher, they'd win games too.
Good one. Yeah. Good drop in. Well done, Hunter.
One other thing. I'm very bummed about something. I understand I'm bummed about it. Well, I love Kirk Penny, and I am bummed as a Badger. Now, he's going back to be with his family, but having dinner with him, no big deal, like Tausch and I did a couple of weeks ago, you sat there and you're just like, oh, my God, where can I hire this guy to run my program? He's unbelievable. He's brilliant. He's a basketball mind. He's kind. Mm-hmm. And he's got to do what's best for his family. But, when I saw that news last night, I was bummed that he has, for family reasons, has to leave the program right now. That stinks. And one would have to wonder, did Tausch and I drive him out? One dinner with us, and now he's moving to New Zealand.
So is this like a season three of Ted Lasso thing where he decides to go back to Kansas City? This is the same deal. He wanted to go home. He missed being at home.
I don't want to spread any rumors, Jason, but the fact that Evan left before we all left, I think maybe was like, I don't know how committed. Evan is one of the biggest Badger supporters we have, and the fact that he couldn't stay at Tornado until 11:30 plus, maybe show
I was
Kirk
there
that
at
maybe
7 o'clock.
Evan, I'm just saying, maybe he is saying, how committed is this fan base? Here we have somebody that loves basketball. His son is an AAU guy, loves the game, and he couldn't stay to hang in a time when you know he's not going to see him for a while. And all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, that trickle effect goes. I'm not saying, but I'm not saying, if that makes any sense.
If we find out today that Matt LePay is going to move to Australia, yeah, we're just driving everybody out. LePay is moving to Australia. He got in the Hall of Fame. He had somebody induct him who he doesn't know. And now he's moving to Australia. And Jesse not here today? Any chance that Jesse is already meeting with McIntosh about the play-by-play job now that we know the pay is
You're really driving a lot of innuendo. No, Jesse's trapped. I don't think he has a flight home. I think that's where he is.
That would be a questionable hire, but there's been a few of those in recent years.
Evan? Jason, that's the most opinionated I've ever heard Jason Wilde.
Yeah, he has got strong opinions on,
strong opinions
on some things.
My opinion of this segment is that it's over. Thanks, Evan. We appreciate you.
That sounds like a fact. All right, bye.
That is Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. We still have one portion of the 9 o'clock hour to finish off. We'll do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Thanks to Evan Cohen. You can hear him every weekday across ESPN Wisconsin and across ESPN Radio and on your television on Unsportsmanlike. Jim H. in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube comments. Buffalo and Philadelphia are the only undefeated teams, and Green Bay is better than both of them. Agree or disagree?
Wow.
Right now they're not. But do I fear either of those teams in a matchup? Not even a little bit. But, no, you have to. This is like when you get into college football rankings and things. Yeah, you can have ideas of who's a blue blood, who's not. You have to go off of what happens on the field. And right now, Buffalo has probably played the most consistent football of any team. And then Philadelphia is probably second. Green Bay has probably, at its peak, looked the best. But they've also looked bad. Like, offensively, brutal in Cleveland. Defensively, brutal in Dallas. And it's one thing if you find a way to win those games. We are 0-1-1 in those games. And if the results don't matter as far as all that goes, what are we doing? But I will agree that, or I guess I'm not agreeing, I'm going to state my case and say I don't think this Packer team feels intimidated against anybody, and they will match up and play anybody anywhere, and I think they'll be in a good position to win. I'd prefer it be at Lambeau because this team, through 4 weeks, again, small sample size, awesome at home, uber inconsistent on the road. That's what we've seen for 4 weeks.
I want to get into that a little bit further during the 10 o'clock hour when we're also going to try and solve some other issues because Tausch is always solutions-based. All right, don't just complain about it. What are you going to do to fix it? We're going to try and help them do that during the 10 o'clock hour after I tell you to make sure you tune into Behind the Bucks. That podcast can be found on Bucks Plus, on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks brings you exclusive access and untold stories about the greatest stars and moments in Bucks history. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the new ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher. 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.